The gist. Avindra Nath has proposed that B-cell exhaustion is driving ME/CFS. But in the study entitled Hypocortisolemic ASIA, a vaccine and chronic infection-induced syndrome behind the origin of long COVID and myalgic encephalomyelitis, Spanish researchers propose another suspect, exhausted T-cells. Both researchers start with an infection, identify an immune weakness that leads to exhausted immune cells, and end up with chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS. While NAF ends up in the temporal parietal junction, or TPJ, in the brain, these researchers end up at the pituitary gland in the brain. Two immune hypotheses, two brain endpoints. Interesting. The pituitary gland is part of the HPA axis, one of two major stress response systems in the body. It produces adrenocorticotropic hormone, or ACTH, which stimulates the adrenal glands to produce cortisol. In hypopituitarism, the pituitary problem these researchers believe is present in ME/CFS, the pituitary gland doesn't produce enough ACTH, resulting in low cortisol levels and probably fatigue, inflammation, etc. The paper starts with the recognition that herpes and other viruses can inhibit HPA axis activity, that the pituitary gland's location makes it particularly vulnerable to infections, and that depending on which way the HPA axis bends, either immunosuppression, high cortisol, or inflammation, or autoimmune diseases, low cortisol, may result. It turns out EBV may, in some individuals, target specific cells in the pituitary that regulate ACTH secretion. A direct EBV infection of these pituitary cells could decrease ACTH production and thus produce low cortisol levels. One ME/CFS study found anti-pituitary hypothalamus antibodies in between 35-55% of patients. These antibodies could be producing a condition called autoimmune hypophysitis, or inflammation of the pituitary gland. The author proposes that a genetic weakness in some ME/CFS patients' T helper cells prevents their immune system from being able to quickly recognize and battle the Epstein-Barr virus. As EBV reactivates, the cytotoxic T cells jump in. But lacking the T helper cells to guide them to the invaders, they shoot wildly, becoming hyperactivated and eventually exhausted. Meanwhile, B cells start churning out antibodies designed to target the intruder or antigen, pathogen or toxin. Ultimately, they lose their way and attack the pituitary, producing autoimmune hypophysitis, or inflammation of the pituitary. In a last-ditch effort to bring the pathogens into check, the innate immune system roars into action, producing inflammation and more havoc, but is never able to vanquish the pathogen. A world of trouble results. The authors propose that this scenario sets the stage for a wide variety of conditions: reduced vitamin D, insulin resistance, reduced zinc copper levels, mast cell activation, exercise intolerance, low testosterone, orthostatic intolerance, leaky gut, mitochondrial problems, microglial activation, neurotoxicity, difficulty concentrating, malaise, and the breakdown of the muscles to provide amino acids for energy. Treatment section. In contrast to Avindra Nath, who proposes using checkpoint inhibitors, or ICIs, to get the immune system back in gear, these authors think ICIs will make the problem worse. Getting the exhausted T cells back into action will exacerbate the pituitary inflammation, or hypophysitis, and or the autoimmune disease that caused it. If no infection is present, they believe the treatment can work, but if it is present, depending on what situation a patient is in, the authors recommend different solutions. In all cases, use supplements to reduce oxidative stress and replenish the compounds depleted by inflammation or malabsorption, and to revive the exhausted T cells. These include vitamin C, N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, alpha-lipoic acid, or ALA, SAMe, selenium, and B-complex vitamins. In inflammatory and immunosuppressive states, consider glutamine and nicotinamide mononucleotide, or NMN, to restore cytotoxic T cell functioning, astragalus to help with T helper cell functioning and EBV reaction, protein supplementation to maintain protein synthesis, vitamin D supplementation to reduce T cell hyperactivation and improve insulin sensitivity, and melatonin to protect neurons, reduce oxidative stress, and improve sleep. Use antibiotics and antihistamines to reduce inflammation in people with small intestinal bowel overgrowth, or SIBO. No pituitary damage, normal ACTH levels, and hyperresponsive HPA axis, low cortisol, is present. This may fit some people with ME/CFS. Try supplements that reduce inflammation and oxidative stress and stimulate cortisol production, such as ginseng. Add other supplements, see above. A spinal connection. Although it's not mentioned in this paper, the spinal pituitary connection comes from a condition called empty cella syndrome, ESS, which occurs when the bony structure that holds the pituitary in place becomes flattened. This usually results from high cerebral spinal fluid pressure, which appears to be common in ME/CFS. In an Unraveled podcast, Dr. Ruhoy reported that she sees ESS, or partially empty cella, in 80 to 90% of her craniocervical instability patients. Conclusion: both Avindra Nath's and these researchers' hypothesis start from the same place, an infection. Propose that an immune defect in B or T cells results in an inability to tackle the infection, immune exhaustion, and autoimmunity / inflammation, and ultimately results in a problem in the brain, either the TPJ or pituitary gland. One proposes an immune approach, checkpoint inhibitors, that the other believes will make things much worse. Instead of checkpoint inhibitors, the Spanish researchers focus more on the temporary use of corticosteroids, plus antivirals, and a range of supplements to restore T cell functioning and the HPA axis, reduce oxidative stress, etc. With B and T cells, and even neutrophils and monocytes, in ME/CFS, all showing signs of immune exhaustion and or difficulties producing energy, one wonders if problems producing energy is the tie that binds these together.